Comforting the afflicted, afflicting the comfortable, bringing faith to the doubtful, doubt to the faithful, friend of the friendless, odor to the odorless, calling lame radio to rise and talk. This is Coast to Coast AM. And my name is Ian Punnett. Coming up an hour from now, Dr. Shelley Kerr will join us. She is a leading authority on energy healing, but that's not what we're going to be talking to her about. She's got a new book out called Divination of God, an ancient tool of prophecy revealed. And it's very, very interesting idea. She's done the legwork on something, which I don't think many people have given much of a thought to. What if there were an ancient device, something that had been fashioned before as a kind of transmitter for the thoughts of God? What if you could build one tomorrow? What would it look like? What would you need? Well, the Bible laid out the blueprints, but few people have ever used it. And it's been sitting there, right there, ever since, saying, if you want to, you can make one of these, and then you can use it to get the thoughts of God. That's what we'll be talking about coming up with Dr. Shelley Kerr next hour on Coast to Coast AM. There is a big story. Many of you have sent me copies of it. I think probably in the last 24 hours, I must have gotten four dozen emails alerting me to this story. Thank you, everybody. It's on the coasttocoastam.com website right now. The story of former Canadian Minister of Defense asking Canadian Parliament to hold hearings on relations with alien ET civilizations. That's the convoluted title for this piece out of Canada, in which a former Canadian Minister of Defense and Deputy Prime Minister under Pierre Trudeau is asking for investigations into various aspects of a potential intergalactic war. He believes that the work that the Bush administration has proposed of going back to the moon is all about putting a forward military base on the moon. And he has other positions. You can read about it, coasttocoastam.com. So many people have sent this piece and emailed about it that I want to reserve the back half of this hour just on that subject. We'll open up all the lines, and just on that subject, read the piece. I'll read you more on it coming up if you haven't heard it, next on Coast to Coast, and I'll tell you all about it. Some people are calling this the best half hour in radio. I don't know about that. But that's nice of him to say it. I think it's probably a pretty good use of your time. Some stories this week, some crypto news pieces, and your email next on Coast to Coast AM. This is Ian Punnett. Lots of stories and many of your comments about last week and news from this week, plus some observations we'll throw in as part of the mix for crypto news this week. As we mentioned, former Canadian Minister of Defense and Deputy Prime Minister under Pierre Trudeau has joined forces with three non-governmental organizations to ask the Parliament of Canada to hold public hearings on exopolitics, that is to say, relations with ETs. By ETs, Paul Hellyer and these organizations mean ethical, advanced, extraterrestrial civilizations that may now be visiting Earth. There is no may in it for Paul Hellyer. On September 25th, you'll remember, in a speech at the University of Toronto, he publicly stated that UFOs are as real as the airplanes that fly over your head. He went on to say, I'm so concerned about what the consequences might be of starting an intergalactic war that I just think I had to say something. He revealed the secrecy involved in all matters pertaining to the Roswell incident was unparalleled. The classification was, from the outset, above top secret. So the vast majority of U.S. officials and politicians, let alone a mere allied minister of defense, were never in the loop. But we'll get more on this coming up at the bottom of the hour. Again, we'll open up the lines only on this subject. What do you make of this? What do you think this means? What do you see in that story? And especially people from Canada, love to hear from you on that. Frank sent in this piece from the San Francisco Chronicle, another piece about a crying Virgin Mary statue, this one in Sacramento, this one crying tears of blood. You can find out more at the San Francisco Chronicle website. And that was tears of blood before Stanford lost to Notre Dame. Or maybe they were blood tears, you know, of joy for the Fighting Irish. I don't know. NBC is in the crosshairs of journalistic observers this week during its live coverage of the annual Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. NBC did not tell viewers that a giant balloon had caught on a street lamp and injured two sisters. At the point of the broadcast when the M&M's chocolate candies balloon was supposed to have crossed the finish line, Katie Couric, Matt Lauer, and Al Roker, who had been assigned to the entertainment division of NBC, stuck to their scripts, and the network ran a footage of the M&M balloon from last year's parade. Couric told the audience they were seeing old footage and bantered with Lauer and Roker, but there was no further comment of the accident. They didn't know about it at the time. Nobody was telling them that there had been an accident. NBC spokeswoman said Friday that producers knew something had happened with the M&M balloon, but didn't know exactly what. There was no further comment on air at that time because we did not have further information, said a spokeswoman for NBC's entertainment division. Well, you certainly wouldn't want cameras to go and find that out, would you? You know, you actually have cameras live set up along the parade route. Wouldn't want one of those focused on an actual news incident while it was happening. Might as well wait, find out later on, and then go back with the cameras. Amazing. You know, it makes you think, where if Katie, Matt, and Al had been doing a live remote, you know, from the Windows of the World, the restaurant at the top of the World Trade Center, would they have covered 9/11 if they were getting paid to be there? The Defense Department has expanded its programs aimed at gathering and analyzing intelligence within the United States, creating new agencies, adding personnel, and seeking additional legal authority for domestic securities activities in the post 9/11 world. This, according to Walter Pincus with the Washington Post. This is a story that comes out tomorrow, but you can pick it up at drudgereport.com. The moves have taken place on several fronts. The White House is considering expanding the power of a little known Pentagon agency called the Counterintelligence Field Activity, or CIFA, or CIFA, CIFA, which was created 3 years ago. The proposal made by a presidential commission would transform CIFA from an office that coordinates Pentagon security efforts, including protecting military facilities from attack, to one that also has the authority to investigate crimes within the United States, such as treason, foreign or terrorist sabotage, or even economic espionage. More on that, again, in the Washington Post. Maybe some on that tomorrow on NBC, if they're not, you know, busy still showing last year's footage of giant M&M balloon. A Japanese Hayabusa air spacecraft successfully landed on a faraway asteroid Saturday for a second time. That was today. You can find out more on that at fizorg.com. Almost certainly, this spacecraft collected the first ever samples from an asteroid in space. That, according to Japan's space agency, the Hayabusa probe, which successfully touched down on the rotating asteroid last Sunday, but failed to collect the material, was sent back again. That's about 180 million miles from here that all this is going on. They're hoping to get this probe back. This asteroid was estimated to have emerged roughly 4.6 billion years ago when the solar system was created. The samples could be something like fossils of the solar system, said a scientist, though researchers will not know for sure whether it picked up surface material until the craft returns to Earth in 2007. And in the meantime, the Japanese researchers have to kiss their asteroid goodbye. Insert your asteroid joke here. Snowstorms have lashed Britain, France, upped weather alerts. Three people froze to death and travelers were stranded in Germany as a bitter cold snap gripped Western Europe. Warnings continue that Britain should prepare for its coldest winter in decades. You know how much snow they got? Like almost 5 inches. That's it. And it causes that much confusion. I live in Minnesota. We got almost 5 inches on Friday on the busiest shopping day of the year. It didn't even slow anybody down. We got, you know, we got 10,000 lakes here in the land of hockey, or as we call them in the wintertime, 10,000 rinks. And everybody's pretty much going around business as usual. Not true in Harbin, China, where they're still without water in a city of 3.8 million people and still few answers from the Chinese government. They will tell us that a chemical plant explosion caused chemicals to go into the water supply, which then they said could not be, obviously, for good reasons, consumed. China has been criticized by environmentalists for its slow response and for its tight-lipped policy. On Saturday, China did make a rare public apology to Moscow for any harm that may be caused as this poisonous benzene headed downstream toward a far eastern Russian city. We still don't know as much about that as we would like, and for that matter, how long it'll be until it reaches other waters. Have you heard of the prophecy that a tidal wave will wipe out Los Angeles in the next 6 months? I hadn't either. I got an email from somebody who alerted me to Indians.com. That's Indians with a Z.com, where somebody named Sydney has no horses. And an American Indian council from South Dakota are making this prediction about Los Angeles wiped out by a tidal wave within the next 6 months. I went there, though, and I couldn't find anything more about it. Did find lots of interesting news, though, about Native Americans. Indians with a Z, .com. And I came to this conclusion. Were I ever to be made, you know, an honorary member of a tribe, I think I'd like the name Ian Has No Porsches. That'd be good. Ian Has No Porsches. In Atlantic Beach, Florida, a man faces an aggravated battery charge for biting off part of another man's ear. Wait for it. It's coming. This story came from FARC.com. Public records show John Hagen is being held in jail in lieu of bail. Wait for it. It's almost here. A sheriff's office report says the two men had been drinking. Ah. There it is. We knew it was coming. When they started arguing while watching television. You know, this is what happens when you mix alcohol and Martha Stewart's The Apprentice. You know, gentlemen, she's going to pick who she's going to pick. There's just no sense in fighting about it. Authorities say Jeffrey Drennan was hit in the face and put in a headlock. Part of his ear was bitten off. Drennan then hit John Hagen with a bottle over the head. Police say the victim is missing a chunk of his ear. When sheriff's deputies finally released the two men, of course, they immediately stumbled home to write me emails, one to accuse me of being too liberal, the other one to accuse me of being too conservative. But it's always nice to hear from them. WorldNetDaily.com says a respected Japanese virologist shocked colleagues at a meeting in Germany last week when he passed on a confidential disclosure from Chinese scientists that 300 people now have died from the bird flu in China, not two, as Beijing has reported to the world. By the way, thank you to this crypto news reporter who sent in the Center for Disease Control. They've released a list of symptoms of bird flu. If you experience any of the following, please seek medical treatment immediately. High fever, congestion, nausea, fatigue, aching in the joints, and an irresistible urge to leave droppings on someone's windshield. If that's you, seek help. McDonald's is changing its fish sandwich, its Filet-O-Fish sandwich. Officials in Vietnam say McDonald's were in Vietnam last week to visit a giant seafood producer in the Mekong Delta to look into the possibility of buying a Besa variety of catfish and tilapia from Vietnam, because this area produces 400,000 tons of catfish a year. Now, this is great news for a guy like me who recently only started eating red meat again. I eat a lot of fish. I love catfish, and tilapia is my favorite. I've been known to drive through a few McDonald's and pick up a Filet-O-Fish sandwich from now and again, but this is what's going to happen. McDonald's is going to contract with the best, you know, place in Vietnam for this type of fresh catch. And because Vietnam is kind of centrally located in the world, they're going to be in the perfect place for world distribution. You know, I mean, they're going to catch the catfish and the tilapia, then they're going to pack them in ice, then fly them to regional processing centers around the world, kind of strategically located around the world, where they'll be filleted and then breaded and then trucked to your local McDonald's, where they will deep fry the living crap out of it. And that's just all right with me. Some email about last week's show with David Sirita and others. Ren in Utah says, I'm not surprised gas started going up about the time that the war in Iraq started. How can hydrogen, wind, and sunlight be taxed? Well, I mean, the government charges you a tax for what you own when you die and you're dead. They're going to find a way. Don't worry. Deborah, Dr. Deborah wrote about having Dr. Anne Blake Tracy on talking about SSRIs. She said she had blamed SSRIs for all the evil in the world. I don't think she did that, but she said, can every evil be blamed on SSRIs? Did Hitler or Genghis Khan have them? No, of course not. Although, if you ever saw the High Hitler report on the History Channel, you know, he was pretty disassociative through a lot of World War II. Lisa from Dallas told a very interesting story about getting her daughter off Zoloft, and we got a lot of emails like that too. Kurt in Milwaukee saying he's looking forward to the Dr. Shelley Kerr interview. I'd like to think that I at least dated her in one parallel universe. Don't know anything, but I haven't found a picture of her yet. But Kurt says, read the AP story last week about deer running around in the Twin Cities and attacking the governor's mansion. It did happen. The good news for deer, of course, is that the governor's he goes out hunting a lot and goes out fishing a lot. He just doesn't come back with much. Governor Pawlenty sort of notorious for not bagging any deer and having his wife, the First Lady of Minnesota, Mary Pawlenty, Judge Mary Pawlenty, outfish him every year. So I think the deer picked a good place to crash, if you will. I got this very interesting email about a joke I made last week about the new Xbox 360 plugging directly into our spinal columns, giving, you know, finally, Microsoft complete control over all humanity. And Timothy wrote this, just a thought about your comment about having the Xbox 360 connected directly to people's spines and being run on a Microsoft system. I happen to have multiple sclerosis, aka MS. Microsoft is sometimes referred to as MS. I think I can speak from firsthand experience on what it would be like for our bodies to run on Microsoft software. Some days, neither of us, my body or my computer, are operating so well. I think the similarities are a little frightening. Thank you, Tim. I hope through drug research or gene therapy or both, someday we'll be able to defrag your system. Uncle Noel wrote about his grandma, said she fell down last week and broke her hip, so she's in the hospital. Can we ask the Coast folks to keep her in her prayers? In our prayers. Well, I think we will. Grandma, that's a handsome son you have there. No snowboarding until you feel better. Hey, Ian, writes Teresa with the best question of the week. When's the right time to tell a highway it's adopted? I don't know. Lots of different activity on the forums. Thank you, unexplainedmysteries.tv, Imaginative Worlds, Fantastic Forum, The Paranormal Network. All of these forums have different ongoing threads about Coast to Coast, and it's always nice to hear from you. I've logged on to all of them, unexplainedmysteries.tv, imaginativeworlds.com, fantasticforum.com, and paranormalnetwork.net. I've left messages on some of those boards. Hope you enjoy them. And thank you, everybody, who writes such nice things about Coast to Coast. Sean writes, I finished reading the article about Canadian Defense Minister publicly stating that there is contact with aliens and his concern over the U.S. putting weapons in space. It'll be interesting to see if mainstream media takes hold of this. Indeed, be watching. NBC should be showing footage, year-old footage of that M&M balloon right about now. But we'll be talking more about it coming up in just a second, too. And finally, this email from Paul. Why do you continue to deny the true four-day simultaneous harmonic nature of time? Denial of this indicts you as bastardly queer and unfit to live on the planet. That's what he says. You know, I don't. I celebrate the true four-day simultaneous harmonic nature of time. In my house, we call it Thanksgiving weekend, and I hope you had a nice time. I'm a little concerned, though, about this thing about being unfit to live on the planet, though, you know. But thank you for writing, Paul. And I hope your friend finds that missing chunk of his ear. God bless you. We'll do some open lines on one subject coming up next on Coast to Coast AM. Ever told you my story about hanging out with Ramsey Lewis of the Ramsey Lewis Trio in a men's room in the airport at Philadelphia? I will someday. One of my favorite celebrity encounter stories. That and watching George Jones pick his nose at a stoplight. It's one of my favorite things. And thank you, everybody, for jumping in. Here's your chance. Lots of people emailed in on this story. Former Canadian Minister of Defense asked Canadian Parliament to hold hearings on relations with ET civilizations. He is very focused on the United States. And he says the United States military are preparing weapons which could be used against the aliens. They could get us into an intergalactic war without us ever having any warning, he said. The Bush administration has finally agreed to let the military build a forward base on the moon, which will put them in a better position to keep track of the comings and goings of the visitors from space and to shoot at them if they so decide. Hellyer's speech ended with a standing ovation. He said the time has come to lift the veil of secrecy and let the truth emerge so there can be a real and informed debate about one of the most important problems facing our planet today. Three non-governmental organizations in Canada took Hellyer's words to heart and approached Canada's parliament in Ottawa to hold public hearings on a possible ET presence and what Canada should do. Now, on October 20th, the Institute for Cooperation in Space requested Canadian Senator Colin Kennedy, Senator, Chair of the Senate Standing Committee on National Security and Defense, to schedule public hearings on the Canadian Exopolitics Initiative so that witnesses such as the Honorable Paul Hellyer and Canadian-connected high-level military intelligence and NORAD-connected scientific and governmental witnesses facilitated by the Disclosure Project and by the Toronto Exopolitics Symposium can present compelling evidence, testimony, and public policy recommendations. There's more to the story. You can link up to it at coasttocoastam.com. I recommend that you take a look at it right now. We'll come back. We've opened up the lines just on this topic. So many people emailed and making comments already. This is the first chance we've had to chat about it. What do you hear in this story, especially people from Canada? What do you make of it? What do you think it means? And we'll get your thoughts on that coming up next. It'll take us all the way up to the top of the hour when Dr. Shelley Kerr, one of the world's leading authorities on energy healing, we're talking about a device that might act as a kind of two-way transmitter with God. And she says the blueprint for it is in the Bible, has been there all along. You want to make one? Coming up at the top of the hour, stand by, you'll hear more on Coast to Coast AM. This is Ian Punnett. Well, it's making international news, a lot of people following it, an unusual request. We don't even know yet whether the Canadian Parliament will follow through on it, but there's a lot of talk about this belief that's being espoused by the former Minister of Defense in Canada, Bill, on East with a comment on Coast to Coast AM. Bill, have you read the story on coasttocoastam.com or other places? You know about it. What do you make of that?
I think it's going to go nowhere.
Going to go nowhere?
Going to go nowhere. If Canadians want the U.S. to open up their paper, they're not going to do it.
All right. Thank you, Bill. Appreciate that. Chris on West on Coast to Coast AM. Chris?
Hey, how you doing?
Good. What do you make of that story?
You know, it's kind of odd. It seems like it may have some credence. My idea, I feel, and I could be wrong in this assumption, but I feel like there have been other politicians that have actually said similar things, and they've just kind of fallen out of the press. But I don't think it's outside the realm of possibility by any stretch of the imagination.
Do you think, honestly, do you think the Bush administration is talking about building some sort of military base on the moon? I mean, do you think that that's what that's about?
Well, frankly, they want to build a military base everywhere else. Why not the moon?
Well, I mean, I guess I look at that and I say, I don't know that I see evidence of that. I see those having fewer military bases, not more. I mean, we're not expanding our military reach, or at least not the public one. You can make an argument that, you know, that might be a place where they want to send some suspected terrorists or declared enemies of the state if they want to keep them private and put them up on the moon. But I mean, that's just something that's being floated out there and sort of spoken of as though it's fact. I haven't heard that as fact. So I appreciate your comment on that. Let me go to Derek on the first time caller line on Coast to Coast AM. The story is about the former Canadian upper level official who is now calling for a Canadian Parliament investigation. And he's talking about trying to prevent intergalactic war in our time. Derek, where are you with that?
Hey, and first of all, thanks for taking my call. And you're doing a great job Coast to Coast.
Thank you.
I think it's pretty ridiculous that a Canadian official would publicly state something like that. First of all, without providing any proof that aliens are actually visiting us. And second of all, if we should have to worry too much about a war with the aliens, if, as Mr. Horn, on your previous, one of your previous guests stated that pretty much they're Democrats, aren't they? Against war?
I guess. I mean, if we're going to go down that road, yeah, if we're going to tie those two stories together.
Yeah. And if we did put a base on the moon, or Mr. Bush decided to put a base on the moon, wouldn't it be pretty easy for an advanced species to pretty much take care of that without too much of a problem if they wanted to?
Yeah, I mean, unless, of course, we have technology that we don't know about that might give us some sort of edge or something. I'm not sure quite what that means. But I guess if we're going to really open up our minds to all of the imagined possibilities, then maybe our technology is more advanced than we think. So,
yeah.
But your point is taken. I appreciate you hearkening back to that comment from last week, because I got a lot of email about that. People saying, yeah, how come, you know, it is that we only hear about space aliens being critical of Republican administrations. And where are the ETs on Democrats? That they don't ever seem to have anything about that. So I still want to pick at that. And Derek, maybe here's a great opportunity to do that. So thanks for bringing it up again. Let's go to Canada. Actually, on the international line, Dino is in Montreal. Hey, Dino.
Hi.
What's the reaction to the Honorable Paul Hellyer's comments in Canada itself?
I think it's a bunch of crap. So.
Well, tell me why.
Well, I don't think there's any real threat from aliens from outer space and stuff like that. First of all, Canada is not even in position to defend itself, let alone a threat from outer space. The only thing I could think of is the joint military program of some sort with the United States, maybe to cover up of some sort.
Well, tell me about Paul Hellyer. I mean, we read about him is in one of these pieces. I don't really have any history with him. His name doesn't really ring a bell. I think I've known about him now for about 8 weeks since his first speech at the University of Toronto. So what's a general feel about him in Canada?
There's not much talk about it, tell you the truth. This is the first time I'm hearing about this.
Really?
Yes.
So they're not even covering this a lot in Canada?
Nothing at all.
So not a big impact story there. You'd think it would be. I mean, you should see my email. It's clogged with people sending me copies of the story. It's everywhere. It's all over the world, and it's focused on Canada. So interesting, Dino, that they're not talking about it there. I'm glad we got your point of view on that one. That's helpful to have the look on the ground in Canada. Brad, east of the Rockies on Coast to Coast AM. Brad?
Hello, Ian.
All right, what do you think? What do you make of the story?
It's an interesting story. I mean, and it's, in my opinion, I think something like this is long overdue. By the way, on a quick side note, I think in your intro for your show, you should change one section of it to friend to the ferret, ferret to the friend. But as far as the story goes, I'm living in Dayton, Ohio currently, and I'm straight down the street. Actually, I look at a section of Wright-Patterson Air Force Base from my job here. And in my opinion, there's a lot of developments that the public eye doesn't get a load of a lot. And there's a lot of real secretive places with any military base. But I think there's a little extra security over here, and there's a lot of stories surrounding it. And, you know, you see shows on TV saying, well, they're not a threat, they're too far away. But, you know, who really knows?
Okay.
And I don't personally think that there will be any bases on the moon, because I've got my own opinions about that. I don't even think we went to the moon before personally.
Oh, but okay.
I'm one of those people.
All right, that's fair enough. So then we'll be making fake military bases on the moon then, if that's what we're going to do.
They will be in a studio in L.A. And as far as aliens all being Democrats, I disagree. Look at Ross Perot.
Now, why'd you have to go there?
Now,
thank you, Brad. I appreciate that. Remember, he was independent. So remember,
he was independent as it gets. So.
He was independent. All right, thank you, Brad. Let's go to Anthony, who I understand is in Vancouver on Coast to Coast. Anthony.
Hello. This is not Anthony, but I'm in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada.
Okay.
I want to make a statement. The two individuals that you had calling from Canada, they're way out of the box. There has been major discussion in the news media here in regards to Paul Hilliard. There is a lot of positive individuals who have sent this man emails as well as letters to promote this movement within the Canadian Parliament. As a matter of fact, in the last 2 years, there's been more UFO sightings in Canada, especially British Columbia, Canada, than any other part of the world. And the Canadians probably have the personality and the civility to initiate contact and do it on a humane level. As far as the bases on the moon, the United States have had bases on the moon for the last 20 years.
So we have them now.
Oh, yeah. They're definitely been on the moon. And if the United States continues to shoot down those extraterrestrial UFO crafts, I guarantee you that there's going to be repercussions that this particular world and humanity on this planet will not be able to defend itself.
Oh, and help me understand this. So we have them now, and we are currently shooting down.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Okay. As a matter of fact, if you delve deeply into the extraterrestrial crashes, especially those in South America in the last 4 or 5 years, all the craft that have come down have had holes that were made by some type of pulse weapon. And these are the weapons that the United States have had in orbit for some time, and they're doing this to back engineer the UFO craft. As a matter of fact,
if they're coming down and they have holes in them, then what? Either our weapons aren't very good, or we're not very good shots.
Oh, no. They're actually hitting the craft while they're in orbit.
Yeah, but if they can land afterward, then we're not...
No. The majority of these crafts are not landing. They're actually crashing and killing the crew.
Ah, okay. So they're... And you know this how?
I know it because since I was 3 years old, and I'm an American from Los Angeles,
okay.
I have had contact since I was 3 years old, and I'm 60 years old now and still having contact and with various races.
And they tell you this?
Not only have they told me that, I have seen the repercussions from what is happening in the United States, and that is the reason why I left.
Well, why have they put up with it so far, if that's true?
My feeling and the impression that I've received is that they have a higher level of love tolerance. and that they look at the warring factions on this particular planet as wayward children. But I do not believe that that particular scenario is going to continue very much longer, because too many of the crafts now are being shot at, are coming from civilizations that are warlike, and eventually they're going to destroy a craft or bring a craft down from a warlike civilization, and the Earth is going to be in deep crap.
Like the Klingons or Romulans.
Well, now, let me tell you something. That's science fiction.
I get it, but I mean, I'm just saying, like that, a warring type of nation.
Exactly. Okay. As a matter of fact, before Ronald Reagan left office, and in his speech to the United Nations, he was trying to tell the United Nations that the United States had access to information in regards to a civilization that existed in this galaxy that were a warlike civilization, and that they wanted to unite the powers on the Earth to prepare themselves just in case if this particular race was going to attack the Earth. And I believe that the reason why he said that, the United States had already shot down one of their craft.
Well, I appreciate your comments on that, and thank you for patiently explaining it to me. And I will grab a couple other callers on this while we have time. We're talking about a story which you can link up to at coasttocoastam.com. It's at the top of the stack and the bottom of the page. You'll see it there at the homepage about a former Canadian Minister of Defense who is making claims about the U.S. government building military bases on the moon, although Anthony says that they've already built them and they're already shooting down craft. Dan is on the international line in Montreal. Dan?
Yes, sir.
All right. So he said Paul Hellyer is actually much discussed in Canada and yes, getting a lot of popular support.
Well, I don't know about popular support, but he certainly is, in our mainstream media. And I think I'd like to attest to the veracity of the story simply because he was largely discredited and his reputation was slandered when the story came out. Now, Paul Hellyer, just for very briefly, was part of the Trudeau cabinet. I don't know if you remember Pierre Trudeau.
Yes, I mentioned it earlier in the hour.
Yeah, he's one of the most popular, well, he probably is the most popular prime minister we ever had. And he served in his cabinet, quite proudly and very well. He's a great diplomat, Mr. Hellyer. And when the story broke, because when Trudeau retired, the minister, the then Minister Hellyer, he switched parties, and when that didn't work, he tried to start a party of his own.
Right.
So when this story broke, they sort of said about Paul Hellyer that he was a loose cannon, and he was a turncoat, and he was this and that, and none of that had ever come out before. So, like I said, if the press starts to discredit the person with the story, you can probably go to the story and say there's something here.
All right.
And just about that last caller.
Yep.
From my point of view, let's not forget that it was Ronald Reagan that made that famous speech about what if the world was faced and united with the threat of facing a global threat.
Right, he mentioned
plus,
that.
Plus, he was a proponent of Star Wars.
Right.
So he put those two things together, and here we have Bush, another Republican, and I don't want to get into the Republican-Democrat thing, but here we have Bush, another, president proposing that we get bases on the moon. And we, in fact, there's also a visual that we've all seen, I think, of a shot being fired by some kind of laser weapon or something at a moving particle of light outside the stratosphere just skimming the Earth, and there's a beam that comes shooting up towards it.
You're kind of losing me on that one.
Widely said that was some kind of weapon under our control.
All right. Thank you about that, Dan. And what I think this is all leading up to is I'll see if I can carve out some time at the end of the show to revisit this topic, because there's so many people now that want to get through on this. I think we have time for Bill on the wild card line on Coast to Coast AM for a final comment for now. Hey, Bill?
Yes.
You'll have to wrap it up for me.
Okay. I want to make a comment. In the St. Petersburg time on it was February 18, 2004, they had an article that showed that the Apollo 14 astronaut, Edgar Mitchell, said before 200 admirers that a few insiders know the truth and are studying the bodies that have been discovered of extraterrestrials. And he says, not since the assassination of President Kennedy has any president been briefed on the extraterrestrial situation. This is a man who's a PhD in physics, and I think his credentials should speak for himself, the seriousness of the subject.
All right. We'll just have to leave that echoing out into the ether because I'm out of time for that for now. But will we be able to revisit that? I hope so. First, very interesting topic you don't want to miss, a new book out by somebody else who knows her stuff on this. What if you could build your own, like, two-way communication tool to God? There's a blueprint in the Bible, she said. You'll find out about it next on Coast to Coast AM.